an honor to be preaching again here at Trinity Baptist Church. I count it as an honor. I mean, anytime I get an opportunity to stand for the Lord, I count it as an honor, whether it's in jailhouse, a street corner. But there's something special about getting an opportunity to preach here. I'm just very thankful for that opportunity. I don't know if this is on, brother. I got it. Thank you. All right. What I'm going to be talking about tonight, I'm going to be talking about, and I sometimes feel sorry for people like Sister Katie that goes to jail with us, and they hear me preach this about three or four times to some ladies, or our brother Judd when he's there and he hears me preach the same message sometimes as many as six times to the men. And I have preached this message in the jail, but I'm going to be preaching tonight on about while we're sleeping. I'm talking about as a church, talking about as a country, talking about America being asleep at the wheel a little bit, not paying attention about what's going on. And if you guys will pray for me while I try to get this across, the way the Lord laid it on my heart, I'd appreciate it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. Most of all, God, I thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that washes away sins. I'm so thankful, God, that I have entered in there, God. I'm thankful that you've cleansed me, God. I pray now, God, that you'll help me, Lord, to preach as a dying man to dying men, never sure to preach again. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, and let the Holy Spirit do the preaching. I pray, God, if there be somebody here tonight that's never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray tonight will be the night they get saved, Lord. I pray, God, they'll take advantage of the opportunity of the hour. I pray, God, if there be somebody here, God, that needs to move up closer, Lord, like me, God, I pray, God, that we'll take advantage of that as well. For I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'll open your Bibles up to, I guess I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 13. Also, I want you to know, if there's anyone here that's ever heard me preach, I usually start in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20, saying, knowing this first and no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. I don't try to get up here and try to tell you my opinion on what the Bible is, although I agree with every single word that's in this book. I believe what this book says above what I think it says. You understand? I believe the words in this book. And I believe we're not to... I remember a long time ago I was going down the road, and I was having a hard time with a scripture, and one of the other fellows there said something about, well, that's the way you interpret it. And I remember Dilbert was just a young fellow there, and he quoted that scripture to him. And I underlined it in my Bible that day, and I've used that scripture every time I've ever had an opportunity to stand and preach. I've tried to remember to start with that scripture, knowing this first, and no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. All right, in chapter 13, verse number 3, I'll start right there. It says, and he spake many things unto them in a parable, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, became because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, and an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. All right, what I want to talk about a little bit tonight, that's not my scripture, but I want you to remember tonight that we need to be out sowing the seed, and we need to be sowing the seed amongst our family. We need to be telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But most importantly, I need to make sure that what I've sown in my family is being taken care of. You understand what I'm saying? I need to make sure that the fruit that's come forth from the seed that's been sown, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in my children, that's something I need to protect. It's something that I need to watch out for. Because there are some situations in this earth, in this world, that can cause that to be choked out. Now turn over into verse number 24 in the same chapter. It says, another parable spake he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather together yet the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, I know that it talks about here that there's a field there, and the field is the world, and it talks about the seed being the Word of God being planted there. And it talks about there being some fruit that comes forward from that. Now, my children, I've got five children, and all five of my children have been saved. That's some fruit from some seed being sown. There's also, we go to the jailhouse, and we preach in the jailhouses, and we've seen people saved. That's some fruit from that seed that's been sown. They said they went to Chattanooga, saw four souls saved. That's some fruit from that seed that's being sown. They said that at camp, he said earlier that six souls got saved at camp. Again, that's some fruit that's been sown. And that's some fruit that's growing amongst that field. But then while men slept, while we slept, they come in and they begin to sow tares amongst our good seed. You understand? They come in and begin to sow some tares amongst the fruit of our lives, our children. You know, I think sometimes about how it's good to sleep through certain things. You know, I remember when I was young, I remember when a storm would come. And I remember one of my favorite things to do, just kick back and close my eyes and sleep through a storm. Doesn't bother me. Some people, they can't sleep at night when a storm's coming. I can sleep through it because I just don't worry about it, go to sleep, don't think about it. Next morning, it's over. You know? Sometimes there's some things that we fall asleep for and we keep thinking, well, we'll just close our eyes and pretend like it's not happening. Let me tell you something. This devil wants to take our children and wants to strip them down and make them just like this world. You understand? He wants to tear this, our good fruit, our fruit, he wants to tear it down. I remember when I was a kid, let me tell you what this world will do, what the devil will do with you. He will absolutely strip you down and leave you in a jail cell sitting there wondering what happened to you. I look him in the face. I looked at a bunch of young ladies just Tuesday night or Monday night that absolutely, and I looked them in the eye, and there was many of them that were there times in their life where they went to Sunday school classes, where they went to Bible school, where they went to Bible camp, when they went to places like that, and they would have never thought there would have been a day when they would have put drugs in their veins. They never thought there'd been a day when they would have stole from their parents. They never thought there'd been a day when they would have done the things that put them in that place. I'm talking about saved people sitting in a jail cell. How'd they get there? It's because while we slept, the devil came in, our enemy, and sowed tares amongst the good wheat. You hear me? He come in and he sowed it. I had a friend one time. He told a story about going to a rock concert. And he talked about going with his friends. And I always thought it was ironic he talked about going with his friends. And he told this story. And he said that they went over and they decided they were going to party up because, you know, they were just kids and they were just like 17 years old and didn't have enough money to buy the alcohol when they got to the concert. So they decided they'd buy the alcohol before they got there. And they got blasted on the way over. He said he got so drunk that he ended up passing out before the concert ever started. He never went in, never remembered the whole thing. And they thought it was funny that he paid that money for his ticket, never even got in. When he woke up the next day, pulled his shirt off, and he noticed something on the back of his shirt. There was footprints right up the center of his back. See, he had passed out in the van, and they had used him like a rug. His friends had walked him up and down. Let me tell you something. There's a whole bunch of people, young people, that wants to tell you they're your friends, and they want to go out, and they want to make like your parents are against you. The parents are telling you to read your Bible and study and to pray, to put Jesus first in your life. They want to try to trick you and tell you that they're your friends. Let me tell you something. There is no better friend than the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you another great friend. That's having a parent that prays for you. Having a parent that talks to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Having a parent that takes you to church. I was listening to that Lee tape the other day. And he talked about having a drug problem. Said his parents drug him to church on Sunday mornings and drug him to church on Sunday nights and drug him to church on Wednesday nights. Yeah, I had the same drug problem when I was a kid too. I've never touched a drug in my life. Never. I'll tell you something. It's mostly because It's a grace of God for one. And the other is because I had a mom that just kept dragging me to church. As many times I wouldn't want to be there. But thank God I had a mother that made sure I was at church every time the doors was open. If there was a 3-week revival, I'm going to tell you something. I'd have been there on Monday night, Tuesday night. If it lasted 3 weeks, I'd be there 3 weeks. Thank God for a mom like that. Thank God for a mom that gathered around in the nighttime, took us by the hand and got down on our knees and taught us how to pray. I thought I had friends. That's the kind of friend I needed. Listen, while we're sleeping, parents, while we're asleep, the devil's busy. Our enemy is busy about this world, and he's sowing things out there, and he wants to strip them down. He wants to steal them from us. Turn with me. Turn with me over to Revelation chapter. I'm sorry, to Luke chapter 21. While we sleep, parents, while you sleep, while we're not paying attention, while we're not paying attention to that good seed that's been planted, the fruit that's growing up from the good seed that's been planted, the devil's out trying to sow some stuff right amongst it. He's out sowing some things right amongst it. It says here in verse number 34, Luke chapter 21, it says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering." That means anything in excess, especially eating. America's getting fat. "And drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Listen, guys, we need to wake up. We need to wake up and realize that the devil is working. He works day and night. He's not sleeping. He's doing all he can to try to tear down our families. The truth is, if this country's going to fall, it's not the stock market that's going to pull it down. It's not going to fall because our dollar is weak in Japan. It's not going to fall. If it's going to fall, the greatness of this country is in the Christian families. If it's going to fall, he's going to have to tear it down right here. He's going to have to tear us down. He's going to have to tear down the Christian families. And that's what he wants to do, guys. He wants to go in and he wants to sow tares amongst our children. Let me tell you something. We all act like, I've heard many people, we talk about rock and roll music. We talk about it and they say, "Man, ain't nothing wrong with rock and roll music. Man, I listened to it when I was a kid." Yeah, and I was sorry for it. You understand? It didn't make me better to listen to rock and roll music. I'm no better a person because I listen to rock and roll music. I'm a worse person because I listen to rock and roll music. I wish my ears had never heard it. I wish I'd never thought about that rebellious stuff. We talk about how rock and roll music doesn't make that big a difference. The world does. We keep throwing our kids out there and they keep planting this tares. You know what a tare is? It's an imitation of something that's supposed to be good. It has ears on it and the ears are empty. They don't have nothing in them. The seeds from it, you know what they are? It says they're a sporific poison. You hear me? That means that what the devil wants to do is he wants to sow some tares amongst our good fruit. He wants to sow some tares amongst our children. He wants to see our families destroyed. I'm seeing families destroyed left and right. I know what it's like to struggle to try to keep a family alive. I know what it's like to try to keep a family together. Listen to me. He will attack you at your weakest point, and he will tear you down when you're asleep while you're not paying attention. Listen, our kids, we go everywhere we have to go. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to pull this off. Our kids keep going up and down the road every time we get in the car. I mean, we're all this way anymore in America. I don't listen to the radio, but everywhere we go, people want to just, the first thing they get in the car, they want to turn that thing on and let the world do our thinking for us. They want the world to entertain us. What a great time to have the Lord Jesus Christ to communicate with us and to call to remembering some of the scriptures that we've read from the morning. What a great time to be able to listen and pray and talk about the things the Lord's done in your life with Him. Instead, what happens is We're asleep at the wheel, guys. We're asleep at the wheel. Our kids are growing up. America, I'm talking about this country. The Christians are sitting here thinking to ourselves, oh, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. And we keep telling ourselves over and over again, it's all going to be all right. But the truth is, there's a prince of the power of the air out there that's a wolf. And he's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. And what he wants to do is he wants to come in and he wants to steal our children away from us. We have these beautiful little children. We have this children that we want to raise up to become great Christians. Then we let the devil sow things right amongst us. We watch more TV than we read our Bible. We listen to the radio more than we pray. We worry more about, I'm talking me, guys. Listen, he's burnt me up with this today. All day long, he's burnt me up with this today. Listen, I'm so worried about, I've got a baseball tournament this weekend. I'm calling coaches and worrying about scheduling games. I've got all these things on my mind. But what I need to have on my mind is making sure that those two little blonde-headed girls have the Lord Jesus Christ first in their lives. Instead, they see Dad making sure that the baseball games are scheduled. He's sowing tears. You know, I'm 40, almost said three. I'm 44 years old. 44 years old. Man, it just seems like yesterday. I told this in the jail last night or Monday night. I was talking about the fact that I can remember when I was a teenager and I used to think to myself, you know what? When I get in my 20s and there's nothing else to do, I'm going to serve God. Now I got in my 20s and I realized, hey, I ain't old yet. When I get in my 30s, I'm really going to serve God and get dedicated. Then I got in my 30s and I realized I still wasn't old yet. Well, when I get old in the 40s, here I am. I'm 44 years old. 44 years old. It's time to get serious. It's time to realize that I have an enemy. And I need to quit sleeping through life. I remember when I went to work straight out of high school. I went to work for Highland Steel. My dad and him owned Highland Steel and I went to work for it. And I hated every second of it when I was on the road. And I'd go to work, and we'd work all day long, sometimes 10, 12 hours, and we'd go home in the evenings, and we'd sit there. You know what I did to try to make the time pass? I'd lay my head down on the pillow the time I'd take a shower. As soon as I got in, I'd lay down and lay my head on the pillow, and I'd go to sleep as quickly as I could because I wanted that time to just go. Man, it was just like no time. I was 22, and I decided I need to quit sleeping so much. I was sleeping my life away. Listen to me. We need to wake up. You know, we got these children that we want to see. We want to see them doing some things for the Lord. Turn to Jude chapter 4, or Jude verse 4. It says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness," which means excessive sexual desire, "and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen to me. Listen to me. We've got people in front of our kids every day. I mean, and I don't care if it's Hannah Montana or Lindsay Lohan or, I'm trying to think, Britney Spears or any of those people. They're half dressed, or that's actually putting it nicely. They're a quarter dressed. Their lives are full of drugs and sexual permissiveness. They are absolutely, absolutely clawing at the fabric of our families. They're absolutely doing all they can to destroy our children. And then our little girls. I mean, I've got little girls that want to, that see these girls as heroes. I've got to make sure, guys, that they understand that those aren't heroes. Those are wolves in sheep's clothing. Very little sheep's clothing. And what their job is to do is to try to lead my children astray. Listen to me. My little babies, I mean, my little girl, my little Emily, I mean, she's precious to me, guys. She's my baby. She's my whole world. But if I don't watch it, if I don't watch it, make sure that I keep an eye on this thing, instead of her being a sweet little child, she'll end up being a back-talking, rude, pierced, tattooed girl. She'll end up with the same philosophies of the hippies that love is the answer, and all these different things that we all just love everybody, and that love is the answer to all of our problems. Follow your heart. That desperately wicked thing. Listen, while parents are sleeping, wolves are coming in sheep's clothing, and they're trying to steal them away from us. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. It says, be aware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. What they want to do, guys, they want to carry them away. Sometimes when I'm in that jail and I'm talking to those men and I look at them, or those women, either one, I look at them, and it's hard for me not to just ponder upon what their parents are doing that night. I wonder if they ever think about the fact that they could have made a difference. Maybe they could have made a difference. I wonder, me as a parent, if I'm making enough of a difference in my children's lives to make sure they don't end up in that place, that they don't end up going astray, that the devil, that those tares that are growing amongst my children, that they're growing up. It says in the Bible that some fell on good ground, and then some fell amongst the thorns. I don't want my children amongst the thorns. I don't want the thorns growing up and wrapping around and choking their lives out. I don't want to see a wasted life out of my children. I want to see them being all that they can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Turn to Matthew chapter, or look in, back up one verse, verse 14. It says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. You know, we all act like it. Everything's going to be all right all the time. And we keep telling ourselves over and over again, oh, it'll all work out. It'll be all right. I wonder how many of those parents thought that of those young ladies that's over there at the jailhouse. It'll all be all right. I wonder. Last night, or Monday night, we was preaching, and one of those ladies, when we got done with the message, I said, does anybody like to get saved? Me, she said. I want to get saved. Because she wanted something different than what she had in that jail cell. She wanted something different. Listen to me. The devil's wanting to tear our lives apart. There's been some tares sowed in this country. You know, and some people ask that question, well, why don't Lord just come and just absolutely just turn this place upside down and tear it apart? It doesn't change the fact that we're the freest country in the world. It doesn't change the fact that there's more Bibles going out of this country than the others. It doesn't change the fact there's more evangelists or more missionaries coming out of this country than any of the others. So if he tears this up, if he tears this up, he could uproot some of the good wheat or some of the good seed. Now listen, a lot of times we think that the answer, turn to Acts chapter 20, verse number 29. It says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples, or disciples after them. Listen, everyone, you know, I went to school, okay? And while I was in college, I mean, you hear of it, I had to take lots and lots of psychology classes. And it's the stupidest stuff I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I know that there's some stuff there that's true, but all they want to do is sit and overanalyze and talk about how that man needs this and how we need to try to get through to them in certain ways. And, you know, and you go through David Skinner or Pavlov and all the different types of how man's minds work. None of that stuff ought to ever be ahead of our Bible, guys. The way we ought to raise our children, what we ought to be talking about with our children, is not parenting magazines. It ought to be that. But what we ought to be teaching our children ought not to be about the books or the education of this world. It ought to be about this. Now, I want my kids, I mean, my kids are, I got three of them right now that's old enough and they're in college. And I'm hoping that they suffer through that because I'm telling you something. It is a vile, vile thing. When you start in the front door, they want to start telling you from the beginning about evolution. In all aspects. I don't care if it's math. I don't care if it's science. I don't care what it is. They talk about an evolving education, evolving man, evolving mathematics, evolving. That's all they, the terminology. Everything there is evolving until when you walk out the other door. If you've not been raised up right, you'll come out thinking that evolution is the right way to think. Listen, we need to make sure that we fight against these things. We need to make sure that we don't let the devil come in and sow tares amongst our good wheat. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 4, please. Myself included, guys. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not amongst the thorns. I need to wake up. I need to realize that it isn't going to be long before Emily, who's 10 years old, and Delaney, who's 12 years old, is going to be 18 and 20. It isn't going to be long before my house is going to be empty and my job as far as raising those kids is over. I need to stay fervently dedicated to making sure that I raise those kids and make sure that the tares that's being sown in this world doesn't end up choking their lives out. I need to wake up. We need to wake up. America needs to wake up and realize what's going on. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 13. Back to verse number 30. It says, let them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Listen to me.
We will keep sowing out there good seed. And we tell them to take the word of God and make sure we have it in our kids' lives. But what happens is the devil, it talks about there being birds that set up in the trees around these fields. And if you was to sow amongst that field and a bird was to see that, they would fly down and they would steal that good seed away. We need to make sure that our seed falls on good ground. We need to make sure that with our children that we keep them away from some bad things in this world. As far as rock and roll music goes and talking about the importance of making sure that we stay away from it, and I know I've got a lot of young kids in here, and I know that everyone's saying, well, the music I listen to is not as bad as the other guy, and the music I listen to is, you know, it's okay. But the truth is that rock and roll music, you know, I have some kids, I do SWAT at Oneida High School, and I had these kids that came, and they wanted to play rock and roll, that's what they call it, Christian rock for our SWAT. And I said to them, I said, there's no such, I said, it's an oxymoron. And they said, what do you mean? I said, that doesn't exist. There can't be such a thing as rock and roll music and Christian. They can't coincide with each other. One of them means rebellion. And we're not supposed to be rebellious people. And those kids, they don't understand that. They think that if, you know, it's got a good beat to it and it causes them to want to get up and dance, they think it ought to be all right. Let me tell you what music will want you to, what rock and roll music will end up causing you to do. It'll end up causing you to turn against your parents. It'll change your state of mind. I remember when I was a kid, there was a fellow that told me and my buddy, he said, that rock and roll music will make you stupid. And he said, oh, rock and roll music ain't going to make you stupid. Yeah, it did. It does make you stupid. What it does, it causes you not to want to read your Bible. It causes you to not want to listen to your parents. It causes you not to want to go the way the Lord wants you to go. Turn your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 13, verse number 7. The television tells us how to dress, tells us how we ought to love. Anywhere we ought to be getting our information from, guys. We ought to be getting our information from the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 7, it says, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out. Listen. While we were asleep, while we've been asleep, this is what's happened to us. While we weren't, we kept thinking everything's going to be okay. They've took prayer out of our schools. They've took Bibles out of our schools. The truth is, I'm not allowed to stand and tell anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ out up there at Oneida High School. We had to figure out a way around it to be able to sit and speak to them every Tuesday. We get to take them over to a church over beside where we're at. They come over and eat lunch, and we preach to them while they're there. Listen to me. While we were sleeping, we end up with a man like we got now in the White House. While we were sleeping, this country has put everything ahead of this word. We need to wake up. America needs to wake up. We need to wake up as Christians. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. God, forgive me, God, of my sins. Forgive me, God, of my shortcomings. I pray, God, that you'll bless all these people that's here, Lord. I pray, God, if there be someone here, Lord, that has never received Jesus Christ as Savior, they'll get saved before it's too late. And, God, I also pray, Lord, for those that are asleep right now, Lord, that's not paying much attention, talking to the young people and the parents alike. I pray, God, that we'll wake up and realize that time is running out. If we're going to do something for you, Lord, we need to do it now. If we're going to protect our children, Lord, we need to get busy about doing it now. For I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Is it just me or is it...